$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast, the podcast where we revisit and review movies from our youth. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Good day.
Good day, Richard, and Brian Higgins.
Guess who's back?
He's back in time. But, well, you were kind of like here for the last episode.
I FaceTimed in.
You FaceTimed, dude. That was kind of...
Yeah, that's...
It was a little awkward.
Well, it's fine.
We're trying stuff. We're trying to be hip and innovative.
We're a very high-tech podcast.
Exactly. We're three dudes in a room with French fries and beers.
That should be our new podcast.
French fries and beers.
That's three dudes in a room.
Three dudes. No, it's kind of like two girls, a guy, and a pizza place.
Yeah, but they dropped the pizza place.
Yeah. How are we doing, gentlemen? Are we feeling healthy and chipper?
I am.
Okay. More so than you.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great. I'm a little under the weather, recovering from a cold. Speaking of cold, those people out at the Olympics look kind of chilly.
Yes.
A bad segue. I see where you're going.
Speaking of the Olympics.
Oh, where are you going with that, Brian?
Our movie.
Oh, yes. We did, for our reviews it this week, we actually did another Olympic theme movie.
Yes.
For the spirit of the games out there in Korea, which I've been watching. You guys been watching at all?
No.
Okay. I've been watching some curling and some snowboarding. Well, a little bit.
I have seen some curling replays, but yeah. I have not yeah. really watched anything live.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I'm
tough.
Watching the snowboarding that's on right in front of
well,
us.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. We're watching snowboarding currently.
Yeah. But one of the events, obviously, during the Winter Olympics is figure skating, which is the premise of the movie we did.
I, Tanya.
That could have fallen in there as well.
But it's not from our youth.
No, it's not from our youth.
But the events are.
Well, here's the question about this one, because the movie we did is 1992's The Cutting Edge.
Yes.
Speaking of movies from our youth, Rick and I were kind of speaking before you came here, Brian, and like neither of us had really seen this movie as a kid.
I had maybe seen it, like parts.
Right.
But I'm talking like maybe two or three scenes.
And the initial kind of, you know, obviously we were in the mood looking for Olympic movies to fall into the theme. But my wife kind of suggests this because she had seen this movie a number of times and I had never really seen it. So that's kind of why we tackled this. Now, had you have seen this movie before, Brian?
I had two sisters.
They
were interested in figure skating
okay.
at some point. So
yes.
I remember seeing it. I didn't remember really anything other than D.B. Sweeney was in it.
Yes. Well, I knew, obviously, my gift and my curse is I always know who's in the movies.
Yeah, I knew he was in it, and I knew I liked him from Spawn.
And I definitely knew this was like a movie that was out there in the world, and I knew who was in it, and I knew what it was about. I just had never seen it, save for maybe like a scene or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably turned it on. It was on TBS, and they were bickering because that's like half the movie.
Yeah, there's a fair chance that if you tune in randomly, there will be a lover's quarrel of not yet lovers.
Yes, exactly.
It's a montage of quarreling. Yeah,
much like Cool Runnings, a lot of montage.
Yeah, a lot of montages.
A lot of montage.
I would even argue there's some music in this movie that could have been played in Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
Like some of the training music. But to start it off, gentlemen, I got a question for you, a bit of a trivia that we never brought up. Obviously, our favorite here, D.B. Sweeney from the Spot episode.
Yes.
What does D.B. stand for?
Daniel Benjamin.
Close.
Oh,
pretty
douchebag.
Close. No, well, I thought we liked him.
Yeah, but I mean, still.
Okay. You're close, though.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, that doesn't really fit the scheme. Daniel Bernard Sweeney.
Oh, I can see why he went with DB.
DB. And this movie was directed by Paul Michael Glazer. Do you know who Paul Michael Glazer is?
Is it Mark Paul Gosselaar's pen name?
No.
Ah.
But it is an actor.
Oh.
From a famous TV show.
Is it Paul Newman?
Nope. No, I told you his name. Paul Michael Glazer.
That could be his pen name.
Paul Michael Glazer played Starsky of Starsky and Hutch fame, the 70s cop show. You've seen the movie with
Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller.
And Snoop Dogg.
In other movies, Paul Michael Glazer, so he went into directing at one point. He
Clearly.
Also directed The Running Man with Arnold.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
The Air Up There with Kevin Bacon.
Ah, he likes sports movies.
Get ready for this. Kazam.
Ah.
Not Shazam.
Not Shazam, the movie that doesn't exist.
Again.
He was Perchik in Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, but go to his directorography. I can't.
Directorography. Let's see what else he directed. Some episodes of Criminal Minds in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's got into TV later on.
Judging Amy. Miami Vice.
So the movie starts off, and by the way, so this movie's PG. Just throwing that out there.
Well, parental guidance is suggested.
When was it? 92?
92.
All right. So PG-13 existed.
And the movie starts off with like a classic MGM line at the top.
Yep.
Which is always good. I like that.
Leo.
I watched that and then started my fast forwarding.
Yes, because you missed some of the introduction scenes here. We have D.B. Sweeney, who wakes up and he's dreaming of hockey. And he wakes up, and his name's Doug Dorsey, by the way.
Doug Dorsey.
Double D. And he wakes up, and he's at the Olympics, and he's calling this girl that he just slept with, Rita, and she's foreign. But she's like, I'm not Rita. He's like, Anita? Lita? And she's like, Gita. He's like, oh, whatever, runs away. So he's a horn dog.
Yes, they established that very
Sweeney.
Quickly.
And then we meet Moira Kelly's character, Kate Mosley, and she's kind of like a princess. She's like has to have her way, and she's arguing with her coach, Rick. Rick, you fast forward during this scene, so you didn't know that her Olympic coach that she was at odds with was named Rick.
I think he was named after you.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I started fast forwarding.
And he's like berating her, and he says, I want to see your ass out there in the air. So then she kind of like gives him like a little moon thing, even though she's
a fully clothed moon.
A fully clothed moon, but skates away.
She like flips up her little skating skirt.
Yes, exactly. Her dad comes over to talk to her. Her dad is Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah, John
from
Locke.
Lost. Yeah, I was not aware. And he says that she's got to work with Rick, and she storms away. So obviously she's not having a good time there. By the way, this is during the 1988 Calgary Games. Which is the same setting as the Cool Runnings.
Oh!
So this initial
cinematic
Olympics,
universe.
Exactly.
What?
So she storms away, and Doug is late for his hockey game, and they run down the hall, and this is kind of the little meet cute of the movie here, is as they're both running down the halls and not watching what way they're going, they crash right into each other.
Womp womp.
Does this go up to the ice? Does this go up to the ice?
What?
Does this go up to the ice?
Is that all you have to say? What were you raised in, a bar?
Honey, where I'm from, we stand for the national anthem.
And with that line, D.B. Sweeney became Donald Trump's favorite actor.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. End of movie.
And Moira Kelly became Colin Kaepernick? What? Well, because they slam into each other, and he kind of like uses that against her. It's interesting.
I really want it, because he's like, which way to the ice? Really wanted him to end up on the figure skating ice.
I was going to say, they don't use the same ice.
Yeah.
They're like, not playing on the same
like,
ice.
I think that would have been funny, because then like he goes out there and it's just like the Olympics stop and like he interrupts someone's routine. It's just like, oh, what an embarrassing scene for Doug Dorsey.
Doug Dorsey. They're commentating on it the whole time,
yeah,
too. Like, Doug Dorsey is on the wrong track. How did he get over here?
But no, he gets to his game and then he...
He's playing very well. Of course, the USA team is playing against their nemesis, West Germany, because
yes.
Germany is always the bad, even in Cool Runnings, they're the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, because this is 88, Germany still, they're
still separated. Yeah.
The Iron Curtain.
Also, he's the captain of the team, and they say that he's a junior in college, and he goes to Minnesota State, and he's quite the hot shot, and they call him the Minnesota Machine.
Not the Minnesota Miracle Man like Gordon Bombay.
Nope, exactly. Well, they're from the same state, though. I bet DB and Emilio hung out back in the day.
Well, maybe.
It seemed like...
Although, he looks like he's much older than a junior in college.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. That's the first thing I said when they said junior in college. I was like, he's got to be like 35, right?
Yeah.
He was, if it was 92 at the time, he was 31 years old.
Oh, see, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, so he's like
Moira,
at least 9 years too old.
Moira was 24.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my.
But how old was she supposed to be? I don't even know. Like,
that's a good question.
They don't really
I don't
say.
Know.
I mean, they say she's kind of past her prime too, a little bit.
Yeah,
24 does seem for figure skating.
For figure skating, right?
Wouldn't it be like smack dab, like 18 to
16?
20?
Yeah,
16. You think?
Yeah,
it's
there's
that
some
young?
As young as 6. There's some U.S. Olympic members playing the night. They were like 15, 16,
Jesus.
17. Yeah,
18, 19, 20.
Hoppa!
At 15, I think I was playing video games.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's why you weren't in the Olympics.
And Doug gets the puck, and he goes flying. He goes flying, he gets the shot. It was kind of reminiscent of like a Bobby Orr shot, where he's flying in the air, gets the goal. But after he does it, he gets pushed up against the side of the rink, and like three dudes just slam into him.
Yeah, he got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. Doug is getting hit on the side of the rink, and you just kind of see a shot of his helmet off and spinning, and you're like, what happened to Doug? What happened to Doug? No. Oh, no. Meanwhile, Kate is off, and she is skating in her final event, and they kind of got
a
the music going.
Movie.
And it's, what did you guys think of, like, this was very kind of early 90s editing or cinematography, like those weird jump cuts in the...
I didn't
you know,
like it. It
the,
was
the
it
making
was very
it very
weird.
Clear that it's not actually Moira Kelly.
Yeah.
Skating.
Oh yeah. That's yeah. it. That's well. Yeah. That's this whole movie.
Well, they do some of their own skating. Normally, it's just literally skating around the ring.
Yeah. Exactly.
When they
right.
when they're
or
just
holding hands
doing like
or
a wide
like
shot
that,
where you
yeah.
can see them.
Yeah.
But anyway, something happens, and her and her partner are doing a move, and he drops her, and everyone's like, oh my. And all the cameras are going
George
off.
George Takei came
exactly.
out?
Oh, my.
She's lost the chance. She's lost the gold. Oh, no. We then fade over to Doug, and he's talking to a doctor. We kind of hear a little bit about his diagnosis, about his ailment, his injury.
Diagnosis murder.
Oh.
You've lost 18 degrees of peripheral vision in your right eye. Now, in most cases, this would be considered an inconvenience. But for a hockey player...
So how long before it comes back?
You've had extreme trauma to your occipital lobe.
Doc, how long?
You got a blind side, Doug. It's a permanent condition.
We said there's an operation, right?
I'm afraid not.
Some micro laser thing? You open me up and...
Doug, I've specialized in ophthalmic surgery for over 15 years.
Yeah, okay, well, you don't do it here, but somebody somewhere down in Mexico City, they shoot shark piss up your nose and make you sit in traction for 8 months.
Doug, I'm sorry. I don't see professional hockey in your future.
That's right. Doug has a Sandra Bullock. He's got a blind side.
Oh.
So basically, Doug cool. can't play hockey anymore because of that eye damage. So this is like he eats, oh. sleeps, breathes hockey. So he's bummed. Like this is his whole life. 2 years later, we're in Minnesota, and Doug is working construction. And he also kind of works part-time at his brother's bar, Dorsey's Penalty Box.
I get it.
He's still playing hockey, though. He's playing, like, amateur hockey, and he's trying to, like, slip out of his shift at the bar, and his brother's like, oh, a letter from the Red Wings came in because...
His, like, 23rd letter.
His 23rd rejection.
Yeah.
Because he just keeps applying, but...
They don't want him.
They don't want him. And he's very angry. He's, like, in a fight with the world, and he's arguing with his brother. We cut now to Kate, and she's practicing a spin. Again, so just talking about a little bit some of these moves... With the effects, what did you think of, like, the skating? I mean,
well,
for the most part, it's practical, but just yeah. the camera angles and...
It's actual people skating.
Yeah.
So the effects are fine. The cuts, I like in newer movies, for the most part, they will make the attempt to show you the actual actor skating.
Yeah. Whenever possible.
Whenever possible.
Right.
Even from a faraway distance to make it look like them or whatever. But in the old movies, they couldn't really superimpose somebody's head on there. So it was like, it wasn't awesome. And so I actually felt like they forced a lot of these shots. Like, we need to show them doing a triple Lutz or doing this crazy, jump or whatever. And
by the way, Cinematics, as you can tell, we are figure skating experts.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to throw out all the terms.
Sow cow.
The triple axle.
You got
triple
it.
Axle.
You got it.
Triple,
know.
I don't know.
We know
double
it.
Toe loop. I don't know. But, like, you've got these things, and they're really forcing it, and it just doesn't look good. The way that the way it was cut together doesn't look good.
Right.
But it's practical, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And her partner can't keep up, and they get in a heated argument, and he kind of quits. And we learn that she's, like, really going through all these partners over these past 2 years because he's really picky. So let's kind of hear a conversation between her dad, John Locke, and her teacher, her Russian coach, Anton Pachenko.
It lasted a month. We should have been making her single skater. So where do we go from here? 2 years... 8 partners. This one too small, that one too big, too loud, too much sweat, not enough sweat. Jack, she is a tremendous skater. Everyone is saying this. A petite, powerful, intelligent. But always is coming the big B. What a bitch.
Again, PG movie, when they were like, what a bitch. But the other thing I thought was funny was, and this is kind of a similar concept, that we brought up in our last reviews when we did Cool Runnings, when John Candy as the coach, Irv, was like, I have medals in the two-man or the four-man. It's like, why couldn't you just done the two-man?
Yeah.
The coach even says, should have made her a single skater. Why didn't they just make her a single skater?
Yeah.
I did watch the
Sometimes skaters aren't strong enough to be single skaters.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched the first half hour of the sequel.
Oh, yes.
Because it was also on Hulu.
The first sequel.
The first sequel.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of sequels.
It's about their daughter, but
right.
neither one of them are in it.
By the way, I had read that 3/4 through the movie, and I was like, okay, well, that spoils the ending of this movie for me.
One of the things, because the daughter gets injured, she's played by Christy Carlson Romano from Even Stevens.
Ah.
She gets injured. They're like, well, you know, you might have to go doubles, because singles, it's all about the jumps.
Right.
So she might not be a strong jumper.
She can't do those triple
Maybe she's not.
Cows.
She's not as good at the... She's not going to hit the triple axel like Tonya Harding.
Yeah, exactly.
So... As a result, she's more of a pairs skater.
So now, if we weren't blatant enough, the daughter of these two main characters blatantly call out that they get together by the
end
of the movie.
It's,
you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
it's a moonlighting relationship.
1990s ice skating of the shrew.
Exactly.
And
oh, I like that.
You knew on the sequel it was going to have some tie-in like that. Like now,
I didn't know if it could be completely disconnected.
Well, yeah,
it could
because
be.
Now it could be.
Like, now there's how many Bring It On movies? I don't think any of them are related to the first one.
Right.
But, you know,
But that's newer.
The main reason why I wanted to watch the beginning, at least, was to figure out what happens at the end, because they don't reveal if they get the gold. So I was
But you
waiting.
Kind of assume.
You
right.
assume.
Right.
I wanted to see if it became canon in the sequel.
Right, because, well, the description says, daughter of Olympic gold medalist Kate Mosley and Doug Dorsey. You're like, okay.
I wanted to make
kid.
Sure it was
they
in the movie.
Yes. They had to be cut because they couldn't afford medals.
Yeah, they cut that scene.
So Anton goes and finds Doug while he's working, and he's Russian, and he thinks that he's from the Maple Leafs, so he gets all excited. He thinks he's being recruited, and then he learns that he's not a hockey coach, and he kind of gives him the figure skates, which makes him all confused. Because now, Rick, you were telling me a little bit, which we're going to get into more, and is one of the comic points that I think most people remember about this movie. If you had seen it, because my wife brought it up a lot, the Topic reference. Now,
yeah, and I just got a text from my wife saying
Topic. Yeah, exactly. Your wife enjoys this movie as well. So as we get to it, mm-hmm. we find out that Doug has a lot of trouble with this Topic, which is designed to help you stop.
Yes.
But you were kind of in Doug's shoes.
Designed to help you stop. It's designed to help you jump.
Ah.
You can start jumps.
See, I thought it was to help you stop, but I thought he kind of had like a, what's the guy's name there in Mighty Ducks 2? I thought he kind of had the issue where he couldn't stop. He just kept
like
going.
Fulton Reed.
No, not Fulton Reed.
You know,
Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Benny the Jet. I thought Fulton couldn't skate in the first one.
Yes, that's true.
No, it's designed to help you like stop and jump.
Yes. Okay.
So you can grip the ice quick.
Right. You kind of identify with Doug having trouble with the skates, right?
When I was a kid, my sister was figure skating, and I wanted to skate, and my mom didn't want me to play hockey at the time, so I ended up trying to take skating lessons with my sister, and she was in
Were
figure
skates.
You guys
going to be partners?
No.
Oh, you could have been like
Shib. She was individual.
That's the two brother sister.
She was a good jumper.
Yes, I guess so.
Ah.
But I had hockey skates. So whenever they were to do like anything from like bunny hops.
Oh.
Those are fun.
Or
is anything
like
that, whatever that required a Topic, I had none. So I just ended up skating around the rink.
Yep. Gotcha.
So I had a free skate, basically.
I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, it was fine for me.
When Anton takes Doug to kind of audition or check out this ice skating, they go to this giant mansion. Now, this is Jack is the name of Terry O'Quinn's character, Jack Mosley.
Yes.
It's his mansion. They got a private rink. He walks in, and Kate's very confused because she was waiting for this guy named Spindler, who apparently was the last guy who could have skated with her, but he was like, he'd rather carry around a steak and eat garlic than skate with her. So he kind of has this little first meeting with her, and of course, does not go well. Kind of sets the tone of their combative relationship.
What, my hand?
Well, what do you do, soak them in battery acid?
Oh, I know they're a little rough, but I've never had any complaints before.
Oh, I'm terribly impressed. What is this, final stages of Ukrainian alcohol psychosis?
Hey, wait a second. Who's checking out who here?
Listen, I don't know how many slop shots you've taken to the brain, but this was your audition. And let me assure you, it's over.
Hey, Snow White, relax. I'm no figure skater. I'm a hockey player.
Then what are you doing here? Get him out of my building.
What?
Get him out of my building!
Temperamental. You know, I can think of another word for it.
Is that what you told him?
What, like it's a big secret?
Who the hell do you think you are?
I know exactly who I am, sweetheart. I'm a guy who came a long way from lunch.
Oh, please don't let me keep you from the trough.
Hey, I'm sorry, buddy. I wouldn't wish this on a snake. I'm out of here.
So, yeah, they're going at each other already. And then Anton just yells at them, and he kind of puts it into their brains that they're both at the bottom of the barrel at this point. They have no one else. This is the final straw. So they skate together.
It's the final straw now.
Now, this is that montage you just spoke about that they keep showing them trying moves, and DB would fall over, and yes, she'd say, Topic, Topic, Topic.
One of the montages where this happens.
Yes.
And then she'd get extended.
It happens again later.
Right.
Yeah.
Later.
And she gets like, yeah, topic, later.
Topic, and she'd be farther away and she'd say it softer. She'd be like, Topic, Topic, Topic. And he tries to. Oh, God. She turns it to Gollum. Yeah.
The Topic. But the Topic is precious.
And he tries to pick her up for a move and drops her right on her ass.
Yeah, he tries to pick her up.
And then, not that way, not yet. And then Doug meets Jack, and his dad is like, oh, well, it was worth a shot. Well, thanks for coming out here. You know, here's a check. Here's a plane ticket. I know it's not going to work out. And Doug kind of looks at the check, and he tears it up, and he throws it straight shot right into the wastebasket. And he's like, not a waste of time. Well, I want to give it another shot. So, again, although he's kind of like a Casanova and a guy, man about town, he does have like a strong work ethic.
Well, and I think he's proud.
He's proud. He's very proud.
He's too proud
stubborn
to give up at this point because he knows it's his last chance.
Which is very good because she's very stubborn too, and he is one guy that can actually stand up to her on her level too.
Yeah.
So he can dish it as well. But like I said, he crumples up the check and he says double or nothing. So he's in it. And I didn't realize he was going to get paid.
Yeah.
So throughout this whole training montage going on, lots of banter. At one point, Doug says, don't you think I can put up with your shit? Which, there you go, drops the S-bomb in the PG movie. A lot of put-downs. You know, they're calling each other names the whole time.
Like nincompoop.
More skating montage. Doug keeps falling. More Topic. Topic.
Topic.
He's eating dinner with Anton. He stands up, and he's got, like, all the ice packs around his hips because he's all bruised from falling over. And then at one point, the Zamboni comes out to smooth over the ice, and he's got his Blackhawk jersey on. He's doing a little puck handling, doing a little hockey around it. And Doug's talking to Kate, you know, although they kind of doesn't seem like they like each other, like they're just hanging out with each other, like shooting the shit. And he's talking about, like, you know, back in the day in high school, he was like the big hero, and everyone wanted him, and he had so much. And then he was talking to, like, how things kind of took a dive in college, and then we learned that Kate never went to college. She was just tutored, you know, because she's kind of lived this high privileged life all her life.
Yeah.
And then he makes her play hockey, and they're kind of playing, and they're having a good time. He keeps, like, grabbing the puck from her, stealing it, getting goals, and all of a sudden she winds up for a big slap shot. Cut to the hospital.
Wah, wah.
She got him right
she feels
in the
bad.
Kisser.
No.
In the nose.
No, above the eye.
Well, she thought she hit him in the nose, though.
Yeah, but
she didn't know where she hit him.
Yeah, right above the eye.
Right.
He had stitches.
Because they said hit on the
stitches
nose.
Stitches get stitches.
That's right.
But she feels so bad, and he comes out, and his face is all bandaged, and he's, like, making groaning noises. And then he takes off all the bandages, and it was a tiny injury, and he says, Topic.
Ah.
So he got her. So it was weird after this injury that they go right into this, like, exercising montage. Where they're
Which
jogging.
Is awkward, but
well, it kind of
like
establishes them liking each other a little bit because they're jogging together, but like, Doug
competing.
Is stealing her hat.
They're competing.
He's being playful. He's like, he's messing around with her. He's keeping it fun. He's keeping it light. He's keeping it D.B. Sweeney style.
Oh.
And I did like how, because, you know, I don't know what entails in figure skating practice, obviously. Maybe Rick has a bit more insight since his sister did it. But I did like how to practice some of the jumps and the throws that they kind of had like a harness hooked up. And she was like dangling from the ceiling, Chris Farley, Matt Foley style.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was kind of like trying to hold on to her and spin her around. Because I was always wondering, like, how do you get from A to B on that? You don't just go from like, now I'm going to throw you in the air.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And Doug's working on getting more flexible because obviously that's a big point. And as a guy, you're just like, how do you even bend like that? Like, geez Louise. And then I did like there was this kind of game that they kept playing where each of them kept waking up earlier than the other, and they would go down to the rink, and the other one would already be there practicing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like this back and forth as to...
I'm more devoted than you.
Yeah, a one-upmanship that was going on. So at one point, Doug walks in on Kate changing, and she's like, get out of here, I'm changing, and doesn't leave.
No,
he's like, Now, was it Christmas? Yeah, I think it was Christmas, yeah. So this was Christmas, and he gives her a gift, and she opens it, and she's like, oh, an old shirt. He's like, oh, this is Bobby Hull's shirt. And it's signed, and he's had it for like 15 years, and it's like his most prized possession, and he was giving it to her.
It's very nice of him.
Very nice to give like his most prized possession.
Yeah, something
someone
that
we're not even sure
you have
who
a
likes.
Whole lot of sentimental attachment to, yeah. To someone that will get nothing out of it.
And she gives him, well, he's like, I'll take it back if you don't want it. She's like, no, I want it. So she finally appreciates it. And then she gives him a gift, and it's a copy of Great Expectations.
So what a bad gift.
So he can get lowered expectations.
I mean, okay.
She was going to get Curious George Plays Hockey.
No,
that was her
joke. I get why she gave it to him. Pick a better book.
They were talking about reading before.
No, like, Pip is the worst. Like, maybe that's the point. Maybe she's like, hey, you suck.
Yeah.
You're just like this horrible character, Pip. But
you can redeem yourself.
There's so many better Dickens books to give him.
Maybe she thought like he had a rich benefactor too, but pretty much living in the house, you know?
Maybe their coach is Magwitch.
Oh, Magwitch. Magwitch. Oh, wrong movie. Toe pick. Now, at this point, I originally wrote down, so they go to this black tie affair, and I originally wrote down Christmas party. But no, it was New Year's party. They kept just like jumping through time a lot throughout this movie. Because I was just like, oh, you just gave a Christmas present. Must be a Christmas party. Nope, New Year's party.
New Year's party.
This was a good line. He's like, that looks good on you. I've never seen that. And she was like, what? A smile. Because he was like looking at pictures. We had heard from Kate at one point that she had this boyfriend, Hale Forrest, who was a Harvard business major. And this is that actor Dwyer Brown, who I always knew as the dad from Field of Dreams.
I think that's all anyone knows him as.
Well, I think he popped up in a bunch of movies around the 90s.
Well, we'll look him up for the mini.
Yeah, this is probably the most famous one. He kind of takes Doug aside and goes, look, old sport, I don't like to see her upset.
It's a Great Gatsby now.
I know, yeah, basically. And then Doug has a good comeback where he goes, oh, if you don't want to see her upset, you better invest in blindfolds.
Waka waka.
He's crafty. And then throughout the party, they keep looking at each other. Kate's watching Doug mingle, and Doug just keeps smooching all these random women.
Yeah.
Like, who are these women that
he's
the
like,
dad invited to the
up?
Party? He's like, hey, what's up? He's like, I'm D.B. Sweeney. Let's get it on. And so he's kissing, like, different women at midnight. But Kate's also, like, moving through the party and kissing people, too. Very awkward. Like, it's just, like, kissing everyone.
I've never been at a New Year's party like that.
I haven't either.
It's a competition.
And then they finally get to each other. They turn around. And basically, this is the shot on the cover of the movie. Like, have you seen the movie poster?
Yeah.
Them just being face-to-face and looking at each other. But then they don't actually... She kisses him on the cheek.
And through this whole thing, everyone's holding sparklers,
yes.
too.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
And so there's literal sparks between them. In this moment. I'm just like, this is a very bad fire hazard.
Yeah, it's true. Yep. The rich are very nonchalant and
haphazard. Yeah, they'll just build a new mansion.
Yeah, they can just
buy a new mansion. Yeah. Kate stops by in to say goodbye to Doug because he's taken off for the weekend. She looks at this picture of him and he's down on the ice, like smelling the ice. And he kind of looks like he's like homeless. He's just like next to a trash bag.
He is homeless. He accidentally got his tongue stuck to the
right,
ice.
Yeah, it's funny. And he's saying like, you know, he loves the smell of the ice. It just kind of shows a lot about his character, I think, because the whole thing is like Kate, from her perspective, people keep saying like she doesn't have fun anymore. Like she's not enjoying what she's been doing. And we can tell that Doug still does it. He loves being on the ice.
Right.
He just loves it so much. It's part of his life. And she gives him a video of them skating that he can kind of take home and watch.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then eventually they're going to go to Chicago for the Nationals. And that he should invite his family along
with
them.
Because they're so close. Yeah, sure. I'll bring my family.
Oh, John Travolta's in this movie?
Apparently.
Oh, that's his brother? He hasn't really told his family. I mean, because like a 90s perspective, a guy's guy telling people that you're doing figure skating.
Doesn't work out so well.
Doesn't fit the gender roles.
It goes about as well as you would expect.
Yeah, exactly. So when Doug comes back, he's very hesitant to tell people, and he gets in, and everyone starts, like, cheering that he's back, and women are kissing him. Again, Like, random women just start kissing him as he walks into the brothers' bar.
What did D.B. Sweeney do before this?
Before he was he was the hot shot. Remember how he was saying he was the big man in high school?
Oh, that's right. That's
he was the
right.
The hockey star. Everyone
loved
him.
No, what did D.B. Sweeney do before this?
Before this movie?
Yeah.
I do believe he did Eight Men Out. I think that was before
that's
this.
A good movie.
Which I think is, his best role.
Let's see. Let's see what
Let's
he did
look
before.
Look at Daniel Bernard.
I'd like to know this because...
D.B. Sweeney's too good to look up for a mini episode.
Yeah. Well, because we know he's done stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Before
he's
this,
probably directing
let's,
or something
let's find now. Eight Men Out looks like one of the more notable
Was that
roles.
Before this movie?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
His first movie was Out of the Darkness as Mike, starring Martin Sheen.
Oh.
He was on Spencer for Hire.
He's worked with Martin and Charlie Sheen because he's in a Car Thief movie with Charlie Sheen.
He's worked with Martin Sheen in Spawn as well.
Oh, that's true, yes.
It was Benji Taylor in No Man's Land.
I don't know.
Baxter in Fire with Fire. Jackie Willow in Gardens of Stone. Dish Boggett on Lonesome Dove.
Oh.
Memphis Belle, he was
that's a good movie.
Phil Lowenthal. I would say this is probably his biggest leading man role.
Yeah, Cutting Edge was definitely
his breakout role.
His leading man role, yeah, exactly.
After this, he was in Fire in the Sky.
Oh, yeah. He was the lead in that, too, yeah.
What is Fire
in Roommates?
The one about the guy who says he got abducted by alien.
Wasn't that Randy Quaid?
Yeah, but this was based on a true encounter of a guy.
Yeah.
Quaid believed it.
He was in Roommates with Peter Falk.
Oh, yeah.
Three Wishes.
Don't remember that.
With Patrick Swayze.
Three Wishes? Is that the movie?
Sinbad?
Sinbad.
Nope. Except Patrick Swayze grants the wishes. Did you get them confused? By the way, I just saw Sinbad on Chop tonight.
Oh.
He lost.
Oh, wow.
He was competing?
Spoiler alert. What if people have DVR'd
celebrity
it?
Celebrity chopped.
What if some people DVR'd it? You got to say spoiler alert.
I think
alert.
It's a repeat.
Oh.
Spoiled alert because it's food.
So he hasn't really done
and
too much.
And one common thread between D.B. Sweeney and Moira Kelly. They both voiced Disney animated characters.
Yes, that's
she
true.
Was Nala.
Rick just
she
learned
was
that
Nala
this evening.
And he was Aladar in Dinosaur.
I don't know.
And
what that
I
is.
Guess he was
what
in the Brother
that?
Bear movie too.
Yes, he was.
Which is Disney,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. that's with
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah,
exactly.
He was Sitka in that one.
Ah, Sitka, not Simba.
Kimba.
So yeah, so they come back and everyone is under the impression that he's been away as part of the Merchant Marines. But he kind of clears things up, and this was a line particularly that my wife told me to tape because I said, I've not seen this movie. I don't know the notable lines of this movie. And she said, well, tape this one. It's funny.
Cruising all over the world, and he can't even get to the hey, Ensign Dorsey. Hey, no, Lieutenant Captain Dorsey, huh?
Hello, the Merchant Marine.
What?
What? I didn't join the Merchant Marine.
Still got your sea legs?
Yeah. Well, if you were with the Merchant Marine, where the hell were you? Let's go outside and talk about this, okay?
We're all family here.
What are you saying?
Tell us about it.
What you got to put?
Tell me now.
Come over, Chief.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting.
Go on.
But I've been doing a little... figure skating.
What'd he say?
You've been doing what?
Finger painting?
That was pretty funny. The old guy's like, finger painting?
I would love finger painting.
So yeah, he's...
That'd be a much better movie.
He's like kind of justifying it to his brother. And his brother, in the end, after this kind of interaction between them, he doesn't really care that much. He's giving him a hard time. He's like, where are you going to go from here? Ice capades? You're going to dress up as Snoopy? Yeah. And he's like, no, it's like, hey, I'm going to get to Nationals. And he's like, whatever. Whatever makes you happy, basically.
You're skating. I support you.
Well, one thing he had to ask just to rub it in, one more thing. He said, are they going to make you shave your legs?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Good. Typical older brother.
Waka waka.
So they're trying on outfits, and Doug is wearing this, sparkly cowboy get-up. Like a matador thing. And then he just rips it off. He's like, I'm not into this. And they're listening to music. They're trying to figure out, what music they're going to skate to. And Kate wants classical. She wants Mozart. He wants, 80s, hardcore rock to get the
power
energy
ballads.
Flowing. Power ballads. No, it wasn't even power ballads.
Oh, I know.
It was like a faster tempo because he was like, he was saying that classical was going to make everyone fall asleep, even though that's kind of like the common thing that most skate couples do. And they keep fighting over the radio and they wake up Hale and he's like, can you guys keep it down? It's 2 a.m. And he's like, we can put some classical on. They'll knock you right back to sleep.
Yeah.
1 weekend, Doug is away in Boston and Kate gets all upset because he took off and she feels like he's not taking it seriously because he ran off for a
weekend.
I'm
okay with that because he came to Boston.
He did come to Boston. Yeah. I did like that. And then, so she gets really upset, but doesn't really lead into anything because they just jump right into another training montage.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. Like, there was no ramification.
There's no ramification, right. Yeah. It just kind of shows like they get ahead a couple steps where they like each other, and then they get knocked back a couple steps. It's just like a 2 steps forward, 2 steps back.
They get knocked down, and they get up again.
Exactly.
Chumbawamba?
Yep. That should have been their song.
And in this montage particularly...
That'd be like 96 or something.
Still.
As you guys were saying, in this montage particularly, you'd show like wide shots of people you couldn't see their faces, and then you'd see like really close-up shots of their face. And you'd be like, oh, there they are.
But they're not skating. They're just going backwards on skate. Good for them. Basically what it tells me is like, Brian and I could be like skaters on TV.
They should make another one of these cutting edge movies with you two.
Yes.
You know, I think Blades of Steel was the hockey game we played on NES.
Yes.
Blades of Steel.
Both of those Brian and I could do on the screen.
It'd be wonderful. I'd like to see a live action Blades of Steel movie. So Doug, Kate, her dad, Anton and Hale are all having lunch, and Hale proposes a toast. He says, since everyone's there, he just wanted to announce that him and Kate are engaged. And Doug looks notably perturbed.
Nonplussed.
Exactly. Although he's pretending to be happy for them.
Happy.
Hey, I'm happy for you.
Hey, I'm happy.
But John Travolta. Does she know that?
No, she can't. Well, they can't tell. They got very mixed emotions.
Maybe they got engaged when he was in Boston.
Maybe that was the retaliation.
And she's like, okay, I'm not going to have feelings for this man. I'm going to go with the man that I'm already dating.
Yes. The old standby.
Yeah.
Why go out for the steak of duck when I have hamburger at home?
I like hamburger better.
I mean, I like them both, but.
Kate is skating, and her former coach Rick shows up, this guy that was arguing with
him. Hey, it's
you. It's Rick.
No, I showed up.
It was a very young coach.
Yeah, I was 11. And I was like, keep skating.
Keep skating. No toe pick.
My skate doesn't have a toe pick.
Can we play Blades of Steel now?
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a toe pick.
Yeah.
And she's asking Kate why she hasn't come back to him. If she wanted to get back, she's meant so much to the sport, but this isn't the right way to go about it. She's going to be humiliated. What is she doing with this hockey guy? And then she actually kind of stands up for Doug.
Still blaming Calgary on Brian? You meant a lot to this sport, Kate. You still do. But nationals, I mean, now, after all this time, I just hate to see you humiliated.
Humiliated?
Oh, come on. This guy... A hockey player? Let's face it. Trusting partners was never your strong suit.
This guy, this hockey player, is the best skater I've been on the ice with. He's gonna make you cry. He's so good. You know your way out.
I wish by the end of this movie it was like a Naked Gun movie. Just sobbing.
I don't know about you guys. Have you ever cried? You're so happy. I've been so happy. I've been like elated and I'm like, this is amazing.
Maybe like a single tear. I wouldn't say like ball out sobbing, but I've had tears. I've had tears in my eyes.
There's always the potential that it might have happened at some point. It takes very little to make me cry. Someone being good at their athletic competition isn't going to be one of the things that does it.
But I must admit there are movies I'll get into that by the end, I'm just elated by the outcome. And so yeah, she defends Doug. And he was listening the whole time, and she kind of, like, notices and walks up to him and says, don't let me down or I'll kill you. And he says, well, why don't you take that rock off your hand? It's been cutting me the whole time. Because she's been wearing her engagement ring. And
cutting his soul.
Obviously, he's not into it. So they're in Chicago. This is the Nationals. her ex-partner, Brian, who was from the 19... That's
hey, it's
you.
Me.
So both of you guys are in this movie. All
that's right.
You're the ex-partner. You're the ex-coach.
Yeah,
you
I told
you. You guys can make this movie.
I know we
you
can.
You should make the backstory of what happened off the ice during this movie. Almost like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like, where is Coach Rick and partner Brian during this movie?
Lion King 1.5?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what happened in between?
So the ex-partner is with this, like, new girl, Laura something, and they're both being couched by Rick. So they're still
couched. You're being couched.
So Doug gets in the elevator. This girl, Laura, who is the new partner with Brian, who is like their competition, she asks if he's going down. Loving an elevator.
Oh, my.
They get all giggly and they run down the hall and they run into Kate, who's going out to like somewhere with Hale. And she starts flipping out and she's like, I thought you were going to take a nap. And he was like, oh, I'm not tired anymore. So back in the room, Kate is like complaining about she can't find her lucky earring. She's complaining about Doug. She's talking to Hale as he's sitting there. Hale kind of says, like, you're falling for him, aren't you? And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, we fight all the time. And he's like, fighting is foreplay.
I get it.
So he kind of calls it
out. Topic.
He kind of calls it out. Yeah, all those topic. All those days of topics are them saying, hey, I like you. Hey, I like that.
It's basically going back to the... Oh, if the boy likes you and he's pulling your hair on the playground.
Yeah, but also it's like where her relationship with Hale is so safe. Like, there's so much passion between them.
Yes.
You know,
sparks,
that you can see.
If you will.
So Hale went back to Boston after this fight.
Hale.
So we're on night 4 of the games, and there's only two couples can go on to the Olympics, which are in France. I guess they were in France that year. That's what they said.
92?
Was it 92?
Like, Lillehammer.
Was it every four years at the time, or were they still doing the two years?
This was still every 4 years, and then 94, it went to the 2 years, I think.
Yep.
Anyway.
So Kate can tell that Doug's pretty nervous, and he ends up puking, and he goes, oh, I feel a lot better. And by the way, my wife and I always appreciate movies when they don't actually show the puke, because we get what they're doing. Like, why do
some need
movies,
to see it.
We need to see the actual... projectiles coming out of their mouth into the toilet. Like, he sticks his head around a podium and we know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see that.
But that's why when he used to play hockey, he would go to the rink with two helmets.
Yes. One to puke in.
One to wear.
It's kind of weird.
I would bring a bucket instead of a helmet.
Yeah.
Like
Mr. Bucket.
Balls come out of my mouth. That's going to sound weird for anyone that doesn't know the Mr. Bucket game.
That's an old
board
game.
It's a children's
game.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. It's like Pie Face, but it's Mr. Bucket.
Yeah,
it goes around and shoots
balls out of its mouth.
Just YouTube. Just search on YouTube for
Mr. Bucket
commercial, and you'll be happy.
Buckets are fun.
Balls come out of my mouth, Mr. Bucket.
So Kate takes his, kind of talks him down and says, you know, just breathe, focus on her forehead, smile, it'll do fine. He goes, like, I usually relax within 10 minutes. She's like, our program's only 2.5 minutes. And he's like, well, 7.5 minutes after that, I'll be fine. Or 6.5, I guess. So they do their short program, and they nail their double axles. Again, I threw out this move.
Double or triple?
Whatever. They nailed it.
Double
seems so easy.
And Doug and Kate are in third place for the short program, and their long program is coming up the next night. And Doug's, like, since he doesn't really know the sport, he's wondering why they need to wait until next night. He's really jazzed up. He wants to go again like a doubleheader.
Yeah.
You know, just play again. And he's like, all this, like, sitting around waiting, it's like foreplay. So they said the key word that Hale said before.
Oh,
that's the magic word about how they kind of like each other.
At the same time, he's kind of implying that foreplay is a bad thing.
Right, exactly. He doesn't like it.
Which tells you a lot about how satisfied
Rita or
Anita was at the beginning.
Right. The ex-partner Brian and Laura are in first place. So there's only one spot left. And it's either going to be Kate and Doug or the Wiedemans. This is like brother-sister combo, the Wiedemans. And they did great, but the judges didn't really give them great marks the next night on their long program. So it looks like they're not going to be the winner.
Oh, but wait.
Because the Wiedermans mess up. Apparently they got caught in their Lederhosen.
Yeah.
Which is probably a funny thing.
I think they were on steroids.
And they just got too bulky and stuck in their Lederhosen?
It's showing that you don't want the excessive bulky costumes.
It's true.
You don't need all the accoutrements.
But I'm sure this, like, the Wiedermans were wearing these Lederhosen. It was almost like a precursor to the ridiculous outfits of Will Arnett and Amy Poehler, probably, in Blades of Glory, because they were the brother-sister combo with, like, weird...
I'm sure there have been Olympic brother-sister combos,
too. Oh, yes, of course, of course. Doug takes Kate out, and again, we had learned earlier that Kate was so straight-laced and focused on her skating. She never drank before, so they're doing tequila shots, and every tequila shot they take, Kate wants to go dancing. Now, I've done my fair share of tequila shots back in the day. Did you ever take a tequila shot with a lemon chaser?
You know what? I thought that was the weirdest
thing
ever.
That was very weird, too.
But I have been around people that have done it.
Really? I've never seen that.
It was probably, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. So what's that, like 2008?
Yeah.
When I saw someone do it, and I was like, that's the weirdest thing ever. And this movie's like 92 when he does it. I'm like, I thought that was something new. I had never seen it. I'd always seen lime or just take it straight.
My guess is they didn't have any limes at the bar.
No, I'm guessing that, too. The prop guy really dropped
the
ball.
They put the lime in a coconut.
And then they didn't have
any left for the tequila.
That's true. Yeah.
All the limes
on
the coconut.
There we go. Used it on Reservoir Dogs. So Kate is completely trashed, and Doug brings her up to her room, and she says that she's kind of flipped her ideas or what she thinks about him, and she likes him. And he says, like, he doesn't really want it to go down like this because he's drunk. He's actually a gentleman about it, you know? Doesn't want to take advantage of her. And she's all mad because she's like, I don't need another man telling me what to do. And that he's just a...
And then John Locke bursts in the door and says, don't tell me what I can't do.
She calls him a prude in wolf's clothing. That he's not as reckless as he tries to appear to be. So Doug is in his room and he's drinking from the mini bar. And there's a knock on his door, and it's Brian's partner, Lori, there, the girl from the elevator, and he just lets her in. The next day, Kate's all hungover. She gets locked out of her room. She goes over to Doug's door.
Wearing sunglasses inside.
Yeah, exactly, because she's hungover. And the girl answers, and she gets all upset. She thinks she's got the wrong room, but she sees Doug in a towel. And then Doug chases after her down the hall, just in a towel. And they kind of have a fight in the elevator, and she storms off, and then meanwhile, obviously, we're going to get the joke of the people at the bottom of the elevator just being like, this guy's in a towel, hee-hee. I think one girl even still gave him a wink or something.
Didn't he have some wise-ass comment?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Kate and Doug are at odds against each other, and Anton's like, we got to work on your little problem, because little problem will become big problem, and you have a bigger problem, the European skaters over in the Olympic Games. And he wants to try this move he's been working on for about 2 years. And this move he's been working... Oh, sorry. He's been working on this move for 20 years.
Yes.
Not just 2 years, but it's deemed too dangerous.
It's definitely illegal as well.
I feel like I've seen something like this at this point, though. Maybe not around 93, 94, but today...
I don't think this is a legal move.
You don't think you ever see it? Basically... The move is what? Like he's supposed to be swinging her around and throw her in the air and then catch her.
That's not illegal.
No, but the general logistics of the move, I'm pretty sure, are not legal.
Well, as he said, legal gray area.
Thank you, Tommy Wiseau. Legal gray area.
So there's 5 weeks to the Olympics, and Doug thinks that they could do this trick, and Kate says no, and they've practiced it, and they've been having trouble. And then Jack goes to Anton, he's like, will they get it done? They'll get it done, but will they kill each other first? Oh, no.
The answer is yes.
And then Anton keeps going, you got to do this move all the way, not halfway. Halfway is bullshit. So again, another S-bomb there.
Brian, there's so many swears in this movie.
All of the swears.
Cover your ears. Doug keeps dropping Kate, and she keeps getting hurt.
Aww.
One thing that I do want to note in terms of the parents' guide, they just gave up on this movie.
Did they? Yeah.
It just says, within the first 15 minutes, there were several cuss words.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like they just whoever was writing it just turned it off.
Yeah, the general.
They don't make mention of, like, a female is seen after taking a shower wearing a towel.
Yes.
That usually makes the parents guide. This one just, within the first 15 minutes, there were several cuss words.
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, there's still cuss words throughout the movie.
A male refers to his hands as rough, but the ladies like it.
Yes. We might need to write our own parents' guide for this movie.
Which makes me feel like a new nickname for D.B. Sweeney should be LLDBS. Ladies love D.B. Sweeney. New nickname.
L-dubs.
L-dubs?
L-dubs.
Idris Elba.
She's at the office of her dad. One of the things I thought was kind of funny is, like, because apparently her mom was a skater, and they're talking about how much she misses her mom because she had passed away. One of the things in, like, the office is they have this case for the medals to come, this blank case that's just sitting there, which I'm like, this is a lot of pressure and kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's really weird.
Yeah, this empty case.
I have this case here, front and center, best spot in the room.
Stare at it.
And it's empty.
Yep,
place
empty metal case.
A medal there. And you know what? There's probably people out there that have this.
Right.
Like, this is for when you win the Olympic gold medal.
Oh, I'm sure people do.
It's
just
the motivation.
And not silver or bronze.
Silver and gold.
Only
silver
and bronze.
Keep new medals, believe the old. One is silver and the other's bronze. So Kate's, like, questioning everything, questioning herself, what she's doing. Doug is, meanwhile, he's back. He's really concentrating. He's watching the tape of Kate's performance from 88. So we're at the Olympic Games, and we are at, so as I said before, it's Albertville, France. That's where this Olympic game takes place.
Oh.
And they're doing, like, a press conference. Now, this would definitely be in the parents' guides. The reporters are asking them what it's like to be together. They're obviously two different skating couples, how they feel. They're friendly. And, like, Lori and Brian are like, oh, we feel like a family. And then they're like, oh, it must feel great. And Kate goes, feels orgasmic.
Oh.
Like, all of a sudden. And they all go, what? So they're fighting before the routine. They're about to go on. And then one of the weird things is, like, while the events were going on, they kept having on the audio, and maybe I was the only one who noticed this, but it sounded like there were, like, car noises going on the whole time. Did anyone else pick that up?
I didn't.
There were, like, weird car noises in the background. I don't get
Maybe someone was driving outside your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is true. I do live by a busy road.
By the way, I did just check, the 92 Winter Olympics were, in fact, in Albertville.
Yeah, it would make
Albertville.
Yeah, Albertville.
What was Lillehammer?
I added an A.
I think that was, maybe that was 94. Let's see.
Let's look at the history of Olympic locations.
94.
Oh, 94, all right. Okay. I was close.
There you go.
I was only 2 years off.
So they do their short routine, and they're really technically correct, but everyone's noticing that they're not having fun anymore. Like, the passion's not there.
Those bastards.
And an interviewer comes up and is like, oh, I heard you're going to do this hot new trick. And she's like, no, we're not doing it anymore. He's like, what are you talking about? She's like, yes, it's too dangerous. And they
What's
keep
it called?
Fighting the Pachenko maneuver. Was it the maneuver? Hold on. I want to feel like it's the Heimlich maneuver.
Yes.
The Pachenko maneuver. Because it might get some food out of your esophagus as well. So, they keep fighting. And Doug says she's always looking for a scapegoat. If it wasn't Brian, he was another partner, and it's always someone else. It's not her. She needs to look within. And maybe she's the issue. And then she kind of walks away. She storms away. She's all upset. So they're really like, this is the big riff, the big tear of the movie. So Kate stands up, and she kind of like apologizes. And she said, you know, she wished she could go back to the time where her dad said, you know, win or lose, just be her daughter, instead of like having to be a champion and all this pressure. And she doesn't know what she ultimately wants. And she's contemplating, like, leaving the sport after this last event. This is the last thing she'll do. So she's planning to take off.
She's 24.
Yeah. Hey, prime of her youth. She could go work at
the Gap.
Costco.
Sure. Let's go with that.
So the next day, so I guess they had kind of like rented this mansion in France. Cause you know, Jack Mosley's got to stay at a mansion. Doug wakes up and she's packing her bags and she says that she's retiring right after this last routine. And Doug will have no trouble finding a partner. It's kind of like she's putting him on the pedestal now and saying, like, you're a great figure skater, but I'm the one who's no good anymore, and you need a new partner, and you'll do great.
And she's right. and he gets a new partner. And then with the new partner, he wins the gold. Yes. End of movie.
And I like that movie. They need to find a way to get back to enjoying each other. He's talking them up. He's talking them.
I think they should go do shots again.
They should, right before they skate.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Like a Red Sox routine.
I mean, how many people
that
drink
so well for that team.
Toe pick.
They're about to do this final routine, and Doug keeps wanting to get Kate's attention. She's like, what? Like, what's going on? Like, leave me alone. I need to focus. And then Doug finally admits something out loud to her.
Kate, I'm sorry. My timing, I know it stinks, but I just keep thinking this thing with us, it's going to go away. I keep thinking if I can just keep moving and checking, I'll get clear. But you understand what I'm telling you?
I don't want to fight anymore.
No, I mean, yeah, I don't want to fight anymore.
I have to skate.
Wait. Kate, maybe I wasn't ready. Maybe you didn't give me much of a chance. Maybe, I don't know. I just...
Rosemary Garcia, une minute.
Kate, somewhere in the middle of all this, I fell in love with you.
You may take the opportunity.
I'm saying I love you. I'm saying it out loud. I'll say we're not right for each other because the way I see it, we might not be right for anybody else.
You have to go on.
Shut up a minute. It can't be any harder to stay together than it was to stay apart.
So we also go for 30 seconds.
Will you wait a minute?
Kate,
I need you.
We're doing the Pemchenko.
What?
Oh, he heard me.
You think I'm doing all this to get a program out of you?
You want to win, don't you?
No, it's no good, Kate. It's too dangerous.
And we agreed. I'm putting it in.
So they're going to do the Pemchenko.
The whole thing is weird. Like, the whole thing
the routine,
is...
this move?
No. Just right before they go on, he's like, I need to tell
you
this.
He's like declaring his love. Yes.
Like, I'm going to make you emotionally unstable for this.
Yeah, awkward timing.
Yeah.
But they were fighting. I mean, I don't think they could have made it any worse at this point. They weren't skating like they liked each other. They were just like there was a rift between them. He didn't have much to lose.
So now they need to skate like they love each other.
Exactly. So just to describe the Pemchenko, this is what I was thinking. They skate and they start doing this move. So this past year on like America's Got Talent.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this past year I tried.
When you joined a curling club.
Yes, exactly. This past year on like America's Got Talent, there's these contestants, Billy and what's their name?
I don't remember their names.
You know, the skating.
It was a brother and sister.
So he takes his, England was their last day, right? And he takes his sister and he just kind of on roller skates and he swings her and her head is really close to the ground. And that's the similar thing that he does here is Doug grabs Kate and he's spinning her around, swinging her, and her head is like very close to the ice. And then all of a sudden when she's towards the air, lets go, she goes flying and then he catches her. So that's the Pemchenko.
Yeah. So the first part of it is the bounce spin.
Okay.
Which from what I can see is a highly illegal move. In amateur and Olympic competition, it's only performed by professionals or in exhibition skating due to the high risk of head injury.
Yeah, oh, I can see that.
So that alone would disqualify them. And then there's questions as to the physics involved in going from that into the next part of the move, the throw. Right. But it's a movie.
And so they nail the Pemchenko back at the Minnesota bar, Dorsey's penalty box. Everyone's watching and cheering. I like this a little bit because it was like a little... Almost like a little nod to Cool Runnings, like where everyone in Jamaica was watching. It was like everyone back at the Minnesota bar all cheering them on. They're on board
and
with Doug's progress.
And he won his brother's affection.
Yeah, exactly. So they pulled out the Pemchenko. They do their final like finishing move, and he dips her. And he says, you didn't have to. And she says, yes, I did, because I love you. And he said... And then just as a kind of like a la Doug, you know.
Funny? Doug Funny.
Doug Funny. It is kind of a Doug Funny. He goes, just remember who said it first.
It's a competition.
Yeah, exactly. End of movie. And they kiss.
No,
oh, they
and
kiss.
Literally, it's the end of the movie.
It
there's
just stops.
No, there's no scoring. There's no, did they win? There's no nothing.
Like I said, you don't know if they win. You assume
until
they did.
You
got to watch the next movie, which is called Do you know the name of it?
I don't know.
Cutting Edge.
I want to say Caravan of Courage, but
Go for the Gold.
Go for the Gold. That's it. Or Fire and Ice.
Connect Four.
Go for it.
The end of the movie.
Mr. Bucket. We've played. Come out of my mouth.
Yeah. There's been a lot of retro games.
So let's start off with you, Brian. What'd you think of this movie?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. Now, like I said, you had seen some of this before.
Yeah, I've seen the whole movie before.
Okay. So did it hold up, in your opinion?
I mean, it's an early 90s sports rom-com-dram-midi.
Rom-com-dram?
A rom-com.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's more dramatic than a comedy. It's more comedic than a drama. There's romance in it, so a rom-com.
Well, let me ask you this. So having watched this of your free will this time, did you, as a child, did you ever, like, have a bit of disdain because your sisters made you watch this movie? Or you just kind of were like, okay.
It was a movie.
All
whatever.
Right. All right, okay. So you didn't take the family relationship
TV.
And the control of the VCR or whatever system.
No.
Factor it. Okay, good. And Rick, let's hear, I know you did not enjoy this. Your wife stopped by. She was shopping. And she stopped by. She said, Topic. And she said she enjoys this movie as well.
Like
my wife.
I didn't actually watch most of it. I fast forward. I did my normal watching. But
fast forwarding.
It was a lot of fast forwarding.
Because
every time
I'd
stop,
the montages.
Every time I'd stop, it'd be on a new montage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was kind of like Cool Runnings, but I liked the storyline of Cool Runnings better.
Yeah. And well, it definitely was John a more Candy. Comical tone.
I just don't, it wasn't a great movie. And I never saw it when,
when it first came out. Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw it. So, like, I can't say it held up or anything like that. I don't know if I would have ever seen it. I will not watch it again.
I gotcha. Well, I mean, along the same lines, I had not seen this before either, like I said. So I can't say if it held up from an original time I had watched it, but you had mentioned before we were talking about, like, this wasn't the type of movie I would have been interested around that age.
Right.
But, having seen very many contemporary movies of the time, it's typical that time.
Yeah.
So, it falls right into it. You know, I think it's a good banter, opposites attract type of thing. And you throw in the sports element too, I think it gets you in the mood for the Olympics. So,
yeah.
I didn't think it was bad.
I guess in the spirit of the Olympics, it's fine, but I won't watch this next Winter Olympics.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't.
Well, what if your wife wants to watch it? Will you leave the room?
Yes. We choose the movies we'd like to watch.
They go to the separate bungalows, get a pina colada.
Rick retires to the movie cave.
And joins us as we watch some curling.
That's exactly right.
So, guys, one last question for you.
Yep.
Since we've now kind of covered our Olympic-themed movies for our reviews.
Is there any other ones?
I'm sure there's out there, but this is going to be our last run.
Next, in the mini.
What would be like another sport that you think they could attempt as a dramatic sports biopic to take place during the Olympics? And, like, what would kind of be the backstory? Like, instead of, like, a hockey player.
Are you going with... Does it have to be like a rom-com? Or
no, it doesn't have to be a rom-com. But
like I think curling would be an amazing
okay.
comedy.
So what's the story behind the curling movie? Like it's just
is
not
it
like...
just that Simpsons episode?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go.
I mean, you could just extend it.
Would it be an underdog story
yeah.
somehow? Okay.
It's an underdog story. There's a lot of drinking involved.
Yeah.
You know, every time a stone hits, they drink.
I feel like there was a series of. I don't know if they were made for TV sports movies or like straight to DVD where it was just like an insane concept. I feel like they could make a movie easily where like the downhill slalom or alpine skiing and the whole gimmick of it is like guy doesn't have poles or something like that.
Didn't Hugh Jackman
was
do
Eddie
that?
The Eagle.
Eddie the Eagle. Yeah. That was the ski jump movie, right?
Yeah. So they've already done that.
But I'm saying like one of these movies.
I don't
where
think
they
Hollywood
just,
likes to rehash things.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying like a movie where they just pick like one insane gimmick and just ride it to the ground. Almost like Happy Gilmore. He can hit that ball really far. He used to be a hockey player. This guy is like, this is a guy who has really big feet, so he doesn't need skis.
Are you saying golf should be an Olympic sport?
Oh.
It was in the
No, Olympic snowman building.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
That would be
win the gold! On that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, Just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Okay, former characters from Cutting Edge, Rick and Brian, you are now stars of Cutting Edge 16, Beer Buddies on the Ice, and you are going to do the move I've been working on for 50 years, called the Shakananiaanane, Shakananiae.
Who throws who into the air?
You both throw one another at the same time.
So I guess we just jump?
You just both jump and do a chest bump. And chug a beer and do a triple sow cow and then land on your right pinky toes.
That sounds bad.
Topic.
Oh, Topic. Wrong sequel.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and our full movie reviews of The Cutting Edge. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the5dollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances like this Friday's KBC Brewery Show, you can visit NaticImprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Well, that's it for this episode, Cinemaniacs. Until next time, hasta la vista, baby figure skaters! Topic!